Grace be unto you and peace from the God who loves us so very much that he was willing to shed his holy, precious, innocent blood so that we could be his forever. Amen. Dear fellow worshipers of our living Lord and Savior, I would be willing to guess that every single one of us here today, at one time or another, stood before the altar of the living God and made a promise to him. Whether it's after 2 or maybe even 3 years of studying the truth of Scripture in a children's confirmation class, or after months of gathering together to study the truth of the Bible in an adult Bible information class, we stood before the altar of the God of heaven and earth, and we spoke our confirmation vows, didn't we? The day of our confirmation was indeed a very special and a very important day in our lives. The day of our confirmation was a day that we anxiously looked forward to. And the day of our confirmation was a day that we felt especially close to our God, because for many of us, it may have been the very first time we received the sacrament of Holy Communion. And so even though the day of our confirmation may have been decades ago, it was and still is a very important day for us to remember. Now why? Why are we talking about the day of our confirmation today, the 7th Sunday of Easter? The reason for that, my friends, is actually quite simple. 5 weeks ago, we started a sermon series based on various portions of the book of Revelation. That sermon series started by focusing our attention on what the living Christ says to us and the fact that Jesus is the Lamb who is worthy of our praise and our honor and our worship. That sermon series then went on to focus our attention on some of the wonderful blessings that the risen Christ has secured for us, blessings such as a permanent home in heaven, blessings such as membership in the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints. Today, my friends, as we conclude this sermon series, I thought that in light of everything we have been looking at over the course of the past few weeks, it would only be good and right and proper for me to share with you the encouragement that you heard on the day of your confirmation so many years ago. That encouragement is found in the words, "Be faithful." As we conclude this sermon series, there are 2 questions that we want to address this morning. The first question is Martin Luther's favorite question. When it comes to the encouragement to be faithful, Dr. Martin Luther taught us to ask, what does this mean? And then, the second question is my favorite question. When it comes to the encouragement to be faithful, I teach people to ask the question, why? Our sermon text for today is the very familiar words of Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Be faithful, even unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. But what does this mean? What does Jesus have in mind when he says to you and when he says to me, be faithful? As I was studying this text, I found it rather interesting that the Greek word that's translated by the NIV as faithful very literally means trustworthy, dependable, and faithful. Since the words trustworthy, dependable, and faithful can be difficult to define, and since the words trustworthy, dependable, and faithful can be understood differently by different people, my encouragement to you as you strive to be faithful is to look at and remember the perfect example of someone who is always trustworthy, always dependable, always faithful. The exact same Greek word that's used here in our text for today is obviously used in any number of passages in the Bible to emphasize the fact that the Lord our God is indeed a faithful God. And while we could have any number of those passages to look at this morning, I chose to focus our attention on what I consider to be some very powerful passages recorded for us in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul writes, "Here is a trustworthy," the exact same Greek word that's used in our text. "Here is a trustworthy saying, if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful." The same Greek word that's used here in our text. "He will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself." As you and I are reading and studying our Bibles, both here at church as well as at home, it's very easy for us to see that the Bible is filled with promises that the God of heaven has made to you and to me, especially the promise to send his only begotten Son into this world to save us from our sins. Can we be confident that the Lord God has indeed fulfilled that promise to us? Yes, we can. Why? Because our God is trustworthy, dependable, and faithful. The Bible promises us that God will always be there to strengthen and protect you from the evil one. Can we be confident that the Lord God will fulfill that promise for you and for me? Yes, we can. Why? Because our God is trustworthy, dependable, and faithful. The Bible promises us that through the sacrament of holy baptism, the God of heaven draws a sacred circle of grace around us as he adopts us to be his own dearly beloved child. Can we be confident that the God of heaven kept that promise to us when we were baptized in his holy name? Yes, we can. Why? Because our God is trustworthy, dependable, and faithful. Jesus promises us that in the sacrament of Holy Communion, he gives to us his true body and his true blood as visible, tangible assurance that all of our sins are completely forgiven. Can we be confident that Jesus will keep that promise every time we receive his Holy Supper? Yes, we can. Why? Because our God is trustworthy, dependable, and faithful. Throughout Scripture, we're told that the instant our physical body dies, our soul will be welcomed home to heaven. Can we be confident that the Lord God will keep that promise to you and to me? Yes, we can. Why? Because our God is trustworthy, dependable, and faithful. That's the kind of faithfulness that the Lord Jesus Christ has in mind when he says to you and when he says to me, be faithful. But what does this mean for you on a practical level? How can you take that encouragement and apply it in your own hearts and in your own lives? To me, the answer to that question is actually quite simple. First and foremost, it begins with faithfulness to God's holy inspired word. Don't ever allow anyone to convince you that there are certain parts of the Bible that are not God's holy word. Do not ever allow anyone to convince you that the Bible needs to be updated or the Bible needs to be changed in order to keep up with what our modern day society believes, teaches, and tolerates. Be faithful in your conviction that the Bible is the holy, inspired, inerrant word of the one and only living God. Faithfulness to Scripture will then lead you to be faithful in other aspects of your life with your Lord. Be faithful in your attendance here at God's house so that you can bring him your worship, your thanks, your honor, your praise on a regular basis. Be faithful in your reception of the Lord's Holy Supper, so that you can receive the strength and the forgiveness that you need as you travel through this world. Be faithful in the way that you live your life as a saved, redeemed, and forgiven child of God. Be faithful to that sacred circle of grace that the Lord God drew around you when he created the gift of saving faith in your heart. And if ever, God forbid, you find yourself wandering outside of that sacred circle of grace, if ever, God forbid, you've come to realize that you have allowed other gods and other teachings inside that sacred circle of grace, I encourage you to remember that the Lord your God is trustworthy, dependable, and faithful. Remember the truth that he recorded for you in 1 John chapter 1. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. The same Greek word that's found here in our text. He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Be faithful to your faithful God. And why? Why is that my encouragement to you? Why does the Lord Jesus Christ himself say to you and to me, be faithful? Just look at the rest of that passage. Be faithful, even unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. The children of God in the days of the Apostle John were indeed being persecuted for their faith and their trust in Jesus as their Savior. John himself had been exiled to the island of Patmos for faithfully proclaiming the good news that Jesus of Nazareth is this world's only Savior from sin. We also face persecution as we strive to walk with our Lord through this sin-darkened world. While we may not be exiled to some distant island, we may indeed be ridiculed for our faith. We might be laughed at by others for the things that we believe, as well as for the things that we refuse to tolerate. We may, in fact, face temptations each and every single day, temptations to be unfaithful to our faithful God. And those temptations don't go away simply because we aren't kids anymore. That's why it is so important for us to remain faithful to our God each and every single day of our life. We need to remember that one day our journey here on this earth will most certainly come to an end. When by God's grace and by God's power, we have kept that sacred circle of grace intact in our hearts and in our lives, when by God's grace and by God's power, we have remained faithful to our faithful God, then the very instant we leave this world, our trustworthy, dependable, and faithful God will fulfill his promise to us and bring us home to heaven. Picture this, my friends. Picture yourself walking through the pearly gates and automatically finding yourself surrounded by thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000 holy angels. Picture yourself walking down the streets of gold to the hellos of your fellow saints and maybe even hugs from your loved ones. Picture yourself standing in the presence of the triune God himself, having him wrap his loving arms around you and hear him whisper into your ear, "Well done. Well done. Good and faithful." The same Greek word that's used here in our text. Well done. Good and faithful servant. Picture the almighty creator of the universe placing that crown of life on your head. The crown of life. That's really what it's all about, my friends. The crown of life. that our trustworthy, dependable, and faithful God has waiting for all of his trustworthy, dependable, and faithful children is described in Scripture as also a crown of righteousness and a crown of glory, a crown that will last for all of eternity. No one will ever be able to take our crown of life away from us. Whatever ridicule, whatever laughter, whatever rejection, whatever hardship, whatever heartache, whatever crosses we are called upon to bear as we journey through this world are nothing, absolutely nothing, compared to the joy and the happiness, the glory and the perfection, the victorious crown of life that our Savior God will one day lovingly place on our heads. Keep processing that truth in your heart and in your mind, and then you'll always know why. You'll always know why you want to make sure that you remain faithful to your faithful God. Even though the day of our confirmation may have been decades ago, it is still a very important day for us to remember, right down to this very day. On that day, we stood before the altar of the living God, the God who by his power drew that sacred circle of grace around us when he created the gift of saving faith in our hearts. And we promised. We promised to remain faithful to him. My prayer then this morning is beautifully summarized in the words that the Holy Spirit led the Apostle Paul to write to God's faithful children in the city of Thessalonica. He writes, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful." The same Greek word that's used in our text. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Be faithful even unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. To God be the glory. Amen.